Randon podcast with Raffi and Chandra.
Welcome back to the Randon episode with Raffi and Chandra. Huzzah!
Yay!
Okay, we'll stop the audience cheer there.
So this is the audience cheer.
So welcome to the podcast where we talk about how the random affects the everyday. We do a terrible job of actually telling people what we were about at the beginning, so I thought we should start doing that. And in this episode, Chandra is actually leading the charge with a topic that is close to his heart since she's become a travelfluencer. So Chandra, take it away.
I can't say I've voluntarily become one, but it was just something that I found kind of interesting because we had a previous episode on influencers, and I discovered there's a whole, another niche within the influencer thing of travelfluencers, people that are just traveling around and posting photos of where they're going. And some of them, that is literally their livelihood as well. And how I got into the whole sailing thing was I watched a lot of YouTube channels. I was like, well, that looks fun. I'll do that. And a lot of the guys, they get, people who are doing those channels, they get sponsored by various, products that you might want to use on your boat or other things.
So you're saying that people should do this so that they get a free boat. Is that right? Hashtag sponsor.
Yeah, totally. So if in doubt, what you should do is go sailing because you're guaranteed a free boat.
Wow, I didn't realize it was so easy. I'm just going to go flying instead and see if I get a free plane.
You may get just a discount on nutritional supplements, but, it's a win either way, probably.
But remember to use code Chandra10 for 10% off your next sailing boat.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so have you found... So yeah.
I've just noticed, there's... And maybe because I'm kind of, in the area kind of thing, but there's a lot of people who essentially are sharing their travels via... various different social media things. And of course, everybody, posts up their pictures of when they're traveling around, and that's pretty normal because you have time, you're somewhere a bit different, and you kind of want to share the experience with other people. And that's what you do. But then there's other people where that literally is kind of a full-time job or what they do. I just found it interesting because even though it's not my full-time job, I definitely found myself guilty of sort of, having a bit of a highlight reel posted to social media as I'm sailing around. But you tend to leave out some of the boring stuff as well. So,
True.
You go to a nice destination, you're like, wow, check out the clear water and the yellow rubber ducky sitting there. Have a look at my photos if you're not sure what I mean by that.
But, so, go look at Chandrashan on Instagram for more.
Exactly.
Slide into
for
his
more
DMs.
Rubber ducky. For more yellow rubber ducky related content.
What did you call the yellow rubber ducky again? It had like a...
It's the quacken. Because when you get to the destination, you can release the quacken, which is a giant rubber duck, giant yellow inflatable duck.
There we go. We needed the drum roll rim shot for that.
But of course, it was a crowdsourced name. I approve.
So in your travels, did you actually bump into people that were doing the whole travel influencer gig on the boats?
No, I didn't meet anybody personally yet who's doing it as their full-time. There was one other boat that was doing like a little YouTube channel kind of thing on the side, but they weren't, they weren't sort of like doing it full-time kind of thing. It was more just a lot of these early boat channels, I know they just started off, for example, as, I'm going to travel, let me just share some videos to share with friends and family, and then it kind of grows into something. Yeah. But it's interesting because, again, like you show all the good stuff about, you get to this cool destination, but then when you get there, you don't really show the video of, in order to get my groceries, here's the 17 steps to go buy, some milk.
But it was all blue skies and whatnot. We never had an episode where you're in the middle of a storm about to run into another boat. Not on this
definitely
podcast.
Definitely not. We would never have that kind of episode. Refer back to insert episode here in the show links below.
All right. I got to actually start keeping show notes because you're terrible at this.
I always keep show notes. I think it is definitely sort of good things and bad things, though, about the whole travel influencer thing. And I suppose on a selfish personal note, the whole good thing about it is it really does show you different places or ways of living that you might not have otherwise come across. I know for me personally, I never even ever even thought about living on a sailing boat, let alone even go sailing, until I happened to watch a whole bunch of the channels. Like, oh, that's a thing. That's not just what people in, you know, a white polo shirt go and do after golf and go, well, I'm sorry, you are not well-dressed enough for the yacht club.
It turns out... because you've never seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, they don't really go sailing. I think they go...
well, they pretty much do. Plundering. Yeah, but they're sailing to the plundering. You know, there's all
this
the...
is true.
Yeah. Have you never played Zelda? You go sailing quite often in Zelda.
But it's kind of nice, like, to see other people doing it, and you're like, oh, this is actually quite realistic, achievable, and it actually looks like a lot of fun. And so for me, I definitely wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now if it wasn't for them. But, you know, obviously there's bad things as well. Have you come across much of the, I suppose, you know, you're a bit of an influencer now yourself with tech?
Of course. I'm very much influential in, I'm not sure what circuits, but I suppose the nerds of who are listening to this, our audience. Thank you for
anybody
listening,
who doesn't have Apple. Like the small sub-segment.
Yeah. So come over to the Samsung side. I think the travel influencer thing is a bit more in your face. Like there's obviously... The difference, I think, is that, say, you know, there's all the, here, try this makeup thing, use my code for 10% off. It's kind of... it's an ad, right? Like the thing with all the other sort of influencer stuff is it's very obviously an ad. The travel influencer thing is subtle because it's like this highlight reel, like you're on a holiday. It's like stuff that everyone does. It's almost like you're not trying to sell them by selling them because you're just showing the highlights, right? And I think that's what makes it me kind of a bit weird about it, because it's something that you would do anyway, right? Like as in you would show friends and family like photos. That's like if you go on a holiday, even if they're not an influencer, they will put up travel photos and they will be the best of the bunch and look at them having fun, right? So it's almost like tourism boards are kind of an evolution of that, and now you've got people paid to do it, but they, like, you know, they'll put in the little hashtag sponsored sort of a thing, but a lot of it's designed to look like an authentic experience, which and the thing is, you don't know where on the sliding scale of authenticity that is, right? Like as in, if you go, are you gonna get the city stopping and shutting down the street so you can get a perfect, like Morocco did this, right? So there is, you're not allowed drones in Morocco, but if you look through their Instagram account, there's all these drone FPV shots, right? And they've literally shut down the street and you can't do this. Like they will literally take your drone at the airport if you try, right? So I found out because I was going to take a drone after seeing all that stuff. And then just before I went, I was like, I'll just check the drone laws. I'm like, what? So all of the stuff that you're seeing on their Instagram, you can't actually do, right? So then we had to, my last trip, we had to do this convoluted thing because I wanted to fly my drone in one of the other countries, and just to take it in was this big hoo-ha, right? And you go, yeah. And it was predominantly because on their Instagram, there are all these drone shots. There's these cool aerial spots. I'm like, oh, it'll be amazing. And it's just like not that long before I went that you realize that that part, unless they've paid you to do it, you can't do it. Yeah. Like drones are not for sale there.
Really?
Drones are not allowed there. It is absolutely banned by every, like it's not even a location thing. It's anywhere in the country. And if you don't declare it, you will get arrested and put into jail. It's not even like slap on the wrist. It's, you're an enemy of the state. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, it's like you're a spy for, I'm not really sure where, and I didn't really look into it too far. I was
so
like,
what if you just have a camera on a really, really long stick? Are you then an enemy of the state?
I mean, okay, I didn't go looking into very into the depths of this, but yeah, so that was like one example of where I thought one of the reasons was, well, I wanted to visit all seven continents, but one of the other things was it just did look like it had some amazing spots where it's like, you know, the example would be just around nearby is Turkey and like, whatchamacallit, forgetting the name of the place where all the hot air balloons are, right? And there, like when the hot air balloons came out, like 5 drones flew up, including mine, you know, and you can just fly through and it's totally fine.
Yeah, it's probably like at some stage, more drones than hot air balloons.
there's a lot of herd air, but there's like hundreds, so it'd be pretty hard to, but it's kind
of
like
a couple of years.
It was at least like, you know, if your drone footage is not going to be as good, but that's like, it's a you problem because you're not a skilled operator. Like mine is like nowhere near like the beautiful destinations one where they had like the FPV drone guy flying through them, right? But that you kind of go, yeah, but you know, I flew my drone through the weave through the hot air balloons and all that jazz. Like it's what you expect, right? Or some version of it. But the other parts are just so manufactured. But you look at the people who are posting out, and it looks like they're just on a holiday. But yeah, clearly a lot of it's manufactured, and it's kind of
some people like, paid to be, and it's interesting, like you bring it up. Some people are physically, you know, paid by the place to come, take the photos and post them up. Other people, they're just really good at taking photos, and they might be getting sponsored other ways or whatever, or might not even be sponsored, but really good at showing a place for what it is. But it does definitely lead to some places then becoming a bit of a hotspot and becoming overcrowded. When I was in Western Australia, I was just traveling up the coast, and one of the places I went, there's this place called Nature's Window, which I put a link to. Kalbarri, near Kalbarri in WA.
Can you write? I don't know how to spell these things. So at the bottom of the notes.
I'll add this to the notes. But in terms of that, the interesting thing about Kalbarri and Nature's Window is like, I just went there because I was like, ah, it seemed cool. All right. And, you know, a friend was like, yep, that looks good. Let's go there. So I went there. There's this huge queue of people. And, you know, it's literally like the foreign tourist bus has arrived.
What's the special thing there? I've never heard of Kalbarri, so.
Basically, there's just like a little rock formation where it looks like a little arch, and it's like a little window, and you can see the river and stuff
behind it. It's an elevated position. I see. I have seen that photo. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, it's pretty, you know, recognizable. But all the tourist buses stop there. So there's just this massive queue, and you have to line up and wait for your turn to take the photo.
I see.
It's, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and you're like, outback Australia.
It's very Arizona, I gotta say.
Yeah, but either way, it's not, you know, rural outback Western Australia with no other people around. No, it's very much, this is where the tour bus stops.
Well, I mean, this is like how, I think Faroe Islands did this, and I think parts of Italy are also doing this, where they're actually, I think Venice did a cap on the number of tourists per year, and Faroe Islands like literally shuts its borders for a few months of the year, where the only time you can go in as a foreigner is if you are going there to essentially work for free to clean up the place and restore like nature before the next tourist season.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, and it's basically like unpaid labor, but
but you get the advantage of being there.
Yeah. You're there when it's like, there's not many people around because it's capped by the number of people they need to do whatever they're doing. So it's not like you can just come. And you're expected, like you have hours as far as I know. Right.
Is that like an unfair visa policy?
I mean, who knows, but it's kind of like, well, it's also just like tourist exploitation is the tourist exploitation visa.
Yeah. Well, I thought in Australia that's called fruit picking.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's kind of like the thing that bugs me about this is why I think we talked about this one of the other episodes, where I don't try and look up places before I go, is that because there are travel influencers, and also just generally speaking, people put up the highlights reel, right? It's like now if you go to, say, Venice, you expect it to be a sunny day. So you get the sun just here when it beams through to get like, you know, you expect that. And just like any place in the world, it could just be rainy and crap that day, right?
Yep.
And the other part of it is like if you look at like what's happening with Adobe and like AI and photography, right? So Adobe's little spiel last year, not even this year, last year was, here, you can take a photo of Cinque Terre, but the lighting might not be right. So we'll go through all our, because they bought a stock photo agency. So you can change the lighting into anything that you wanted just because you didn't get the right conditions doesn't mean you shouldn't have the perfect photo. I'm like, I think that is exactly what you're meant to like.
Not really. I mean, it's just an artistic expression.
You know, I just found it weird that you can't even. It's almost like you failed if the weather conditions weren't right for your holiday, and it sets up like it's a game. Like you lose the fact that you're traveling for the joy of traveling and seeing new things, and it comes with like no place is going to be pristine all the time, right? Like and it's just like there's beauty to be found. Like Melbourne in the rain, for example, I love going out because you see the reflections and whatnot, but I can't see people going, oh my God, I want to visit Melbourne in the rain, but it's like, I've seen both sides and there is a prettiness to it, right? But it's almost like because you expect just the postcard version, you stop looking. Like if it's like, oh, it's not that version, it's not even worth going out or checking out or maybe trying something new. There's only this one version that you have to tick off.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's interesting because I was going to ask, you know, how do you use... Personally, actually, I quite like when I'm at a location, not necessarily to find where exactly I'm going to do, but where I am at a location, I often like to use different social media stuff to work out, oh, what's the good photography opportunities around this area? And not necessarily things like Instagram, but some of the other more professionally sort of platforms, like or photographer-oriented ones, like 500px, we'll put a link to that as well. They've got photo maps. And so if you're somewhere, often I'll just have a look, little bit of a look around at what are the other photographers taking pictures off around that area and in what light does it look good? So I'm like, oh, actually, oh yeah, that point is quite nice. And then you know, I do a bit of Google mapping and look where the sun's rising and setting. Okay, cool. Well, I might go there at sunset and check that out. So I kind of find that quite helpful. Have you found any helpful uses?
I mean, undoubtedly, if you just rock up somewhere and say it's not your native tongue, like if it's not English speaking. And also, even if you just rock up anywhere, like, I don't know, you could rock up to London and not know any of the... Like, you have to be a local to know where the cool places are because it takes time to find them, right? So there's obviously...
And sometimes the things that the... Like, you also have to... Like, the ideal is to find is a local photographer because... depending on what you want to do, like if you want to take, if you want to take some photos, for example, a local photographer will show you the cool spots nearby. But it's the same thing for anything. You know, a lot of times the local people know, this is the bar to go to. This is the restaurant to go to as well.
Well, okay. So here's the other thing is you're clearly exposing this slight bias where for you, travel influencing means it looks cool, but travel influencing also has like these are amazing restaurants in this place, or here's like for example Turkey, right? So damn it, why can't I remember the name of the place with the hot air balloons? But the thing they do there is all their hotels have a rooftop where they put out like a platter of fruits on a table with all the like, you know, fruit juices and whatnot. And in the morning all the women, like, I mean, my wife did the same. She brought a dress to wear for the rooftop to have a photo at dawn, right? This is a thing. Nice. I did not know this is a thing. And I didn't even know about it until the day. She was like, no, I brought this dress to wear to do this. I was like, huh? And then I went there and I'm like, this is stupid. And then there's a line of people doing exactly that. And I'm like,
in
wow,
the exact same dress.
So I was like, so it's kind of like, it's not so much that, you know, for you, obviously, it's like trying to find the cool photo places. But for other people, it's like either the
it's whatever you're
location.
Into at the spot.
Yeah, like it could be the food or it could be like this is the fashion spot where you need a nice flowy dress in the wind to do that shot, right? Or whatever the experience is, right? And I'm sure there's also a whole bunch of experiences which are not shared in the standard social media of like photos and videos, but it's more like, oh yeah, this is the luxury experience that you like that is renowned for and I have to go to have it and then I can talk about it later, right? Like whatever that might be, like that's obviously another scene that I have no idea about. But I think it's again, it comes back to what are you after for the travel. Personally, I like to be surprised. So I do so usually what I'll do is the first day I'm there, I actually don't look anything up. I'll go for a wander and find like I just like wandering, as you know, because walking is, I like very short walks.
It's just around the corner. This is the guy who, it's like, oh yeah, we'll just go over there. Where? Oh, just around the corner. 3 hours later, where are we going? Oh, just around the next corner. Why do I keep believing you for the last 3 hours?
Did I tell you? Okay, I'll have to save that for another time, but I did do this to my mom once, right? And she was getting so frustrated. She was about to crack the shits, right? And she's like, I am going to actually take off my shoe and whack you with it, right? And I'm like, just around the corner. And we turned the corner, right? And she was literally like, okay, she was about to like backhand me. And I'm like, there's the hotel. Because we were actually
Yeah, I wouldn't like, trust that.
Man, I like timed that one perfectly to the level of, of exhaustion. But anyway, on my thing, like, yeah, I'll do that the first day just so I can get the unadulterated no expectations poet. And then I'll usually find a cafe, sit down with a coffee, then look up like whatever the timeout or the local blog is and find some of the highlights. And the other thing is, what I like doing that is that occasionally you just walk past like the tiny, like, it, this is the, like, I think I did this in Amsterdam or something, and it was like Rembrandt's house. Like, I saw a line. I just thought it was a shop, but it was Rembrandt's house, you know? And I go, oh, that thing. I see. Oh, okay.
I love it. You're taking your Melbourne energy everywhere. Oh, there's a line. I better line up. There's probably some good coffee or something there.
Well, like, I didn't line up. Like, I went, like, you know, I had a coffee, but then when I was, like, going, hang on, where Rembrandt's house is there? I'm like, oh, what I thought was the other cafe. So yeah, that's me personally, so that I can get like a little bit of what it's like just being there without expectations. But then obviously I wouldn't be able to find half the places. And the other thing is, like, what I discovered in Paris is that some of the older cool attractions are just not trendy, so they don't come up on anything. Like, there's a place called like Montparnasse Tower, right? There's like old 1980s, like, it's the first skyscraper built in Paris, and so it's got a viewing platform and it looks directly onto the Eiffel Tower, right? I've not seen it on any tourist map thing. I just was just googling going, is there any places, and came up, right? And the other thing was the, like, you know how New York has the High Line, the park that's on the old train lines.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's elevated, you walk through Manhattan, but you're like three stories up.
Never been there, yeah. So, okay.
Nice. It's like an iconic landmark thing, right? So I was just looking for this other bakery and in Paris, and it said Paris High. I'm like, oh, are they copying it? So I went there, right? Because I just had like an afternoon to kill. What I didn't realize is Paris was the original High Line. They had it in like 1996 and New York copied it. Yeah. Huh. But it's such a, so it supposedly was around the time where Paris became such an international city that, you know, they did the lights of the Eiffel Tower that starts blinking at night, and they upgraded a lot of things, that the Paris High Line, even though it was first, and even though it's actually quite pretty, just became like a, oh yeah. And so no one talks about it. And there's hardly any tourists there. Like, you go to the New York High Line, there's everyone there. There's like people running there. There's people like, there's like art gallery installations and stuff, and they're still expanding it. The Paris one's quite long, and it ends in like this amazing park that's like an amphitheater and everything. But it's just the locals. There's like no tourists. So like, it's almost like if you follow the Insta-famous crowd, you might actually miss out on really cool things.
Yep. But then it's also hard to find those places. And I think one of the things that as well with travel influence, like, I know, like, for example, when I was in Sardinia, there was a cool pasta making course I ended up going to. And again, part of the reason was because looking it up, I saw some other photos of other people doing it. And I was like, oh, that actually looks really cool. And so I think it actually does open up some places that may not otherwise get attention as well.
I think it really depends, though. Like, as in, okay, for you, I think you need the prompts to get you out, whereas I need zero prompts to like go walk around and find something, right? So I think it's like, you know, I don't think there's a right answer, obviously, but like for me, I actually really like the fact that I explored and I found this thing that's not in the common. Like, I like finding the unknown places, right? And of course, there's like, I wanted to go see the Eiffel Tower right up close, and I wanted to see all the other things. So it's kind of like, I like the hybrid approach of not knowing, whereas,
Yeah, I think I like finding things without having to walk around too much. I'm happy to find the uncommon stuff, but just without like having to walk for 3 hours to find it.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I actually enjoy the exploration part of it. Like, even if there's like, I remember. So, and the other thing is like, I've noticed that the most with Iceland recently was that the first time I went, which was 2009, 2010, right? So it was A, difficult to get to, it was expensive, and it was this slow kind of village that was growing up to become an international city. And we stayed like 20 minutes out from the center of Reykjavik because we were like poor interns, right? And I'd walk in, like, because taxis were too expensive. So we'd walk for like half an hour to get into city. We'd have a coffee. And this was the first time encountering the, and like the Arctic sun. So we woke up the first day and it was low season. So we woke up, it was 10:30 in the morning. I thought the clock was wrong, but nope, that's when the sun rose. And then we were having a coffee in the afternoon and we went in and we're having a coffee and we looked out and it'd become dark because the coffee was the only time we had Wi-Fi. So we were like playing around on our phones and we looked up and we're like, what, it's night, you know, at 2:30 PM or something. But having walked around Reykjavik back then before the buildings and the apartments, now like the last time I went, I was walking through and I'm like, this spot right here, which is now at this amazing high-end hotel, right, it used to be this muddy like like roundabout where the buses would pick you up for the tours.
Yep.
And now it's like the most expensive hotel. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, I'm glad I did the meandering walks because now I can almost see the evolution of that city. And yep. Of course, there's obviously cities at different points, but it's because a lot of the places that I went to had zero purpose. There's like nothing around, right? Like one was just a road to the docks, which eventually now has like Harpa there, like opera house equivalent. And it's like cool lit lighting and everything. But at the time, it was just a patch of dirt, really. Like there was just nothing there, right? So I enjoy that and going back to some of the more remote locations, but after a long period of time. But again, it's what you're into, I suppose.
I think though overall, with the travel plans and thing, it's an interesting kind of space where there's a lot of, you know, unrealistic expectations and places that get overcrowded as well. But I actually think it's not too bad. I think it really does show some people places that they would not, places or things that they would not otherwise have even thought of. And it makes certain communities a lot more accessible that, you know, previously would have been, you know, looked after by only a certain group of people. But putting it out there, it just kind of makes everything more accessible. It's there, which, you know, has its pros and cons.
I think generally speaking, yeah, I'm with you on this one, that it's travel's generally net positive, right? Like, as in, I remember back in the day, I had the option of either being sensible and being like a traditional curry, buying a Camry and like buying a house and doing the fiscally responsible thing, or going, I could YOLO this and just go traveling.
Or hookers and coke. Yes.
Well, yes. That was an option, but I chose the travel and buy a sports car instead, right? And ooh. I think it was, well, this is where the RX-8 came from. That was that year. And I was like, I'm very glad I did. It would have meant very different sort of outcomes, obviously, in life. But that travel is like, you know, the typical thing is like, yeah, it's the only thing that you spend money on that leaves you richer. So I think someone said something along those lines. But I think it was the thing that makes you see different
not
perspectives.
It definitely leaves you poorer. Can confirm.
It was definitely like one of those eye-opening things where you just see different ways of doing things. And it's also just that, you know, that made-up word, Sonder, that's now become a real word.
No.
Just like, oh, okay. So, all right. So dictionary of, I swear we mentioned this, the dictionary of made-up words. Haven't we covered this?
Yeah.
So Sonder was a word that this guy invented, where it just means that, you know, the realization of the fact that just like you have your own intern, like that you're the main character in your story, so is everyone else around you, or some version of that. And so I remember the first time in Japan, walking through a crowd and just feeling utterly alone because I couldn't speak the language very well and there was no one else I knew. But it was also just like also absolutely fine because they couldn't communicate to me either. They didn't need to. They're in there, sort of a thing. But it was kind of like this weird isolationist, like it was isolated but connected at the same time. It was like this weird feeling. And I was just like, it just made me appreciate that there's just different ways of doing things and all of it kind of works. And there's probably things like, you know, it just makes you appreciate other people. So I'm very much a proponent of travel.
Yeah. And I think I'm a proponent of sharing it as well, because I was like, oh, you know, through my photos, I can convince one person to quit their job and go sailing instead. Mission accomplished.
Fair enough. You haven't done it to me, but I'll go flying instead.
Something.
Yep. Alrighty. So, should we wrap this episode up? Any final thoughts on travel influencing?
Are you a travel influencer? If you are, why don't you send us your insert social media handle here?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Drop us your social media handles or leave us a message about what you think about travel influencing. But as always, we end the episodes on a positive note. So, did you want to go first or did you want me to go first?
All right. Well, I have my little positive note today.
Yep.
Is actually about solar panels. So it sounds a bit geeky and techy, which it usually is, but solar panel prices, so the actual, you know, the raw price of buying them are about 30% of the cost that they were earlier this year. So even though...
Just from 1 year. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So of course, like the panels haven't dropped in price, you know, all of a sudden, but the actual cost, the raw cost of getting the panel, like the, you know, at a commercial level, has already, even this year, dropped. I thought, you know, oh yeah, solar price, you know, the price like of panels
dropped 30% or dropped 70%?
It's dropped 70%. There's 30% of the cost of what they used to be. So,
damn.
You know, of course, you know, it's not like you can go out and buy three panels for the price of what you could before a year ago, but I always thought, oh yeah, solar panels are expensive, but you know, it's the right thing to do, etc. And yeah, now, you know, compared to, I don't know, 5 years ago to now, and even actually, to be honest, like for my boat, when I was looking at different solar panels, what I could get 2 or 3 years ago when I started, or 2 years ago when I started planning stuff versus to what I can get, like as I got the boat, it changed drastically. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe we've sort of, you know, hit that plateau phase now. But it's kind of cool to see that it's continuing to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, because the cheaper it gets, the more sense, you know, the more sense it makes and the more people would want to use it. So it's kind of cool to see, actually.
Mm. Well, I'm going to change
my... Do you use any solar panels?
Personally, no, because apartment buildings are pretty difficult too. But I will change my positive note.
You could totally plaster them all over the windows.
So I will change my positive note one. It was going to be something else to about solar panels. So, random fact time. So did you know the highest efficiency solar panels, right? Do you know where they exist?
No.
Australia.
Melbourne.
Yeah. It actually, Melbourne. I'm not sure if it's Melbourne, but it's like Australia I'm not sure if it's still current, had the original highest efficiency. And I think it's still the highest efficiency version.
Is that because of the whole hole in the ozone layer thing?
No. It's so the counter to that is like, I think this is like a longstanding debate about Australia's role in innovation and whatnot, right? So Australia has the highest number of precision quantum computers, not the biggest quantum computer, but the computers that have the least error rate in the world. And supposedly we have 6 centers of excellence for quantum computing. And I had zero idea we had anything to do with quantum computing, right? But it turns out...
Pretty sure we got computers in Australia. That's about as far as I got.
This is again on Australian innovation sort of arc, is the fact that there is an Australian Space Agency, right? And the 2 latest direct, high exec level people are one who used to be the Mars rover director from JPL. So she's come across. And the other person is from the European Space Agency from Paris. She's come across. And we are currently training Australia's very first astronaut. So, yeah. So they're part of the European, like they'll get launched by a European vehicle. But yeah, so it's kind of like, I don't know. Every time I talk to people about Australian innovation stuff, like I feel like no one really knows all the stuff that's going on. But yeah, there's some random facts. And Australia also has one of the higher efficiency, it's not the only one, of transparent solar panels. Their use case is for apartment blocks. And Japan's actually licensed.
Why don't you have any?
Yeah, they're for new builds. But there you go. That's my little bit of, on a positive random note, that I wasn't expecting to deploy on this one.
Yay for solar. All right, on that note,
yes, let's call that a wrap. So as always, like, subscribe, and share this podcast if you think someone would find it interesting. And we are going to try and grow it more, so you should see more social media things. And so, yeah, leave us a message, leave us a rating, especially on any of the podcast apps. That helps us quite a lot. So until then, anything further from you?
See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's it, random sound here.